One of the things that, as I look at the landscape of this country and really churches in general, is I really believe we've lost our fear of God. When you fear the Lord, and I'll try to define what that means, but when you fear the Lord, you live differently. There's a certain attitude you have. And one of those attitudes is really a reverence and a respect for God. And we've lost that. America no longer fears God. And that's why America is in the state it is. Christ isn't even welcome for his own birthday. I mean, that's sad. When we have a nation, when our chaplains are told they can't even pray any longer in Jesus' name. And I know that, you know, that is being worked on. But, I mean, why? I mean, have we gone that far? Have we drifted that far away from really what has made this country great? God blesses a nation whose God is the Lord. And America no longer can say God is our God, is our Lord. And so I just think it, you know, we can't change America, but we can make sure our hearts are changed and that we are doing what's right. And perhaps God can use our influence in this locale to make a difference. And maybe if this locale fears God, there can be a resonance, a rippling effect that will bring others to recognize the blessed life is a life that fears God. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 9. And this will be just a starting text. I'm going to quote many, many verses today. So basically, I guess I would say, get in your saddle and be ready to ride. Psalm 19:9 says, "The fear of the Lord is clean," which simply means fearing God. And this is what it means to fear God, okay? Reverencing God, holding a deep respect for God, an awe, a veneration, an admiration, an adoration, a devotion, a high esteem, a homage, a love, a loyalty, a piety, an attitude of worship toward God is a purifying reality. Did you hear what I just said? It's a purifying reality. The fear of the Lord is clean. A purifying reality, and the reason it cleanses out the love of sin and sanctifies the heart which fearing the heart in which fearing God reigns, and such an effect, the verse goes on to say, is enduring. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Filth brings decay, but the purifying principle of fearing God is the great foe of corruption. It brings life. It brings eternal life. It brings into focus God Himself. For the pure in heart are those who see God. Ladies and gentlemen, you aren't going to fear God if you don't see God. And we are so impure as far as our nation is concerned. No wonder we can't see God. No wonder we don't fear God. But what blessings come to those who fear God? And so naturally, since fearing God is such a sanctifying, purifying, and beneficial thing, we are commanded in Scripture to fear God. In one place where we find this command is Deuteronomy 10:12, And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? And he's four things now follow that the God of Israel requires requires of his people. And the first one is to fear the Lord thy God. Secondly, to walk in his ways. Thirdly, to love him. And the fourth requirement is to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Now, of the four requirements God placed here in Israel, the first one, and I believe it is significant to be the first one, is to fear the Lord, which tells me fearing God is foundational. It is what is needed to build an enduring life. In fact, the verses on fearing God are mainly found in the Old Testament. And the commands to fear God are located in the Pentateuch of the Old Testament. You say, well, Pastor, what's the Pentateuch? The Pentateuch are the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Moses' writings. Again, the first books of the Bible, which again tell us the commands to fear God are mainly found in these first five books. Being obedient to fear God helps bring the rest of our Christian walk into focus. In other words, if you don't get the first requirement right, you aren't going to get walking in his ways, loving him, and serving him right. And so what we want to do is to fear him, fearing God. Now, obviously, since it is a biblical command to fear God, that means then it's evil, it's sin, it's disobedience not to fear God. The prophet Jeremiah writes, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou forsake the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts." It's Jeremiah 2:19. The point here is God calls not fearing him an evil and bitter thing. I say that's strong language, an evil and bitter thing. And this wickedness, this backsliding will in itself be a means God uses to admonish and correct us, his children. But then on the positive side, the primary motivation to fear God and fearing God is to continue to follow God, is seeing God at work around us and through us. In other words, we see God showing himself strong on our behalf, which simply means we see as God, as did Israel, God's great work. Exodus 14:31, "And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." When Israel saw God's great power displayed against the Egyptians, and remember that Pharaoh and his army were drowned in the Red Sea, then Israel feared the Lord and put their trust in him. The point again is the goodness of the Lord that leadeth us to repentance leads us to follow Christ, and following Christ means we are fearing Christ, we are fearing God. We are properly responding to God's goodness by fearing him. Listen to the words that Samuel spoke to Israel in 1 Samuel 12:24. "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he hath done for you." And the result of that is more divine goodness, more blessings from the Lord. God doesn't minimize his blessings, he maximizes them upon those who fear him. Now this truth, and I basically feel like I'm just kind of giving you a lesson, I'm kind of just a teacher this morning, but hopefully there'll be some preaching here, but the truth is God blesses those who fear him. And we see this truth stated in a number of verses. For example, Psalm 112 verse 1 states, "Praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." I think it's significant that when we fear the Lord, we delight in what the Lord asks us to do. Fearing the Lord changes our attitude. It changes our attitude toward what God commands us. Too often, we stand against God's commandments. We have an attitude problem with God's commandments. You know how you can tell you've turned the corner spiritually? You know how you can tell that you are fearing the Lord, having an holy awe, reverence for the Lord, is when you delight in what He asks you to do. Psalm 128:1, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. Psalm 128, verse 4, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. I like what Deuteronomy 6:24 states, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day. Now we've spoken in general about God's blessings upon those who fear Him, but there are at least 17 specific blessings God promises, Bible promises that God is indicated that come to those who fear God, which tell us that there is no want to them that fear God. Psalm 34:9 says, O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want. That word want simply means lack. There's no lack to them that fear God. Now, what are some of these good things? And I know this is not a comprehensive list, but I really believe it does cover the gamut of the specific blessings that God brings to pass, Bible promises that God brings to pass upon those who fear Him. And I would write some of these things down. The first blessing is fearing God means we do not fear man. Fearing God means we do not fear man. Deuteronomy 3:22, ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God shall fight for you. Why is it important, ladies and gentlemen, not to fear man? Because the fear of man bringeth a snare. We find that in Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Interestingly, the Hebrew word used here for snare means a noose. And we all know the damage a noose can do. Amen? You know what a noose does? It steals life. It sucks out life. And so the point is, it is not good to fear man. When you fear man, life is being sucked out of you. Mark it down. When you fear man, you aren't being the man God wants you to be. How often preachers fear man and don't preach then the truth of God's word, which sets people free. I think preachers today have stopped fearing God and have started fearing man. The point is, it is not good to fear man, and the best antidote, the best spiritual medicine remedy to counteract fearing man is to fear God. These words to the Israelites, Caleb and Joshua spoke, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have to fear man because God is with us. Blessing number two, fearing God prolongs our days. We live longer, fuller lives when we fear God. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. How much clearer can you be? Which simply means when we fear God, we make good choices. We are disciplined, and so we choose not what is detrimental to body and soul, but what is good and beneficial. I can always tell when I'm walking in the fear of the Lord, I make good choices. I can tell when I'm not walking in the fear of the Lord, I start making my own choices. Blessing number three, fearing God means God fights for us, which means he gives deliverance from our enemies. Listen to Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. It means from the east. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them, which means the bands, I love this, the bands of heaven, the armies of the Lord, his ministering spirits surround God's people, which tell us, watch is kept by the one whose prowess none can resist. If you want to go to bed feeling safe, fear the Lord. I love the words of 2 Kings 17:39. But the Lord your God ye shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. Last time I checked, all means all. And so it is true, if God be for us, what? Who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Blessing number four. God does not forsake those who fear him. God does not forsake those who fear him. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth with you. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. God does not forsake those who fear him. Blessing number five, God hears the prayers of those who fear him. Listen to Nehemiah's words after he heard of the pathetic state of the city of Jerusalem. Nehemiah 1:11, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire, notice, to fear thy name and prosper. And I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer, who desired to fear thy name, and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, grant him mercy in the sight of this man. How vitally important it is for us to have a God who hears our prayers. Wow. That's huge. Every day we wake up needy. Every day we wake up needing the Lord. How beautiful it is to know when we cry out to the Lord, he hears our petitions. You and the Lord then, I mean, you are not alone in your life. I mean, you have God with you. That's huge. Blessing number six, God gives wisdom and knowledge, his truth, to those who fear him. There are a number of references that declare this truth. For example, Job 28:28, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Psalm 25:14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Sometimes the word beginning in Scripture can mean chief, which tells us fearing God helps us to understand the chief, the primary truths of Scripture. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 2:5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And because we have to make decisions every day, how important it is that the foundational principles by which we make our decisions are based on the wisdom, the knowledge, the truth of God. Can we see why Washington makes such poor decisions? They don't fear God. Their decision making is not based on the wisdom, the knowledge, and the truth of God. Ladies and gentlemen, you get some politicians who fear God and they will start making right laws. See, really? It's that simple. Sometimes you just want to spit. You know what I mean?
I love that.
Just get so upset. I mean, you think these are the intelligentsias of our society? These are the people that are the wisest amongst us? No wisdom, knowledge, truth from God. You know what God calls those people? Fools. They're fools. And they're running our country. God be merciful. And we suffer the consequences. It's not going to be that way all the time, because one day Jesus is going to rule and reign. And the wisdom of man will forever be cast into hell. Blessing number 7. The heart of the man who fears God is teachable. Psalm 25:12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Spurgeon, you know, Spurgeon, God bless Spurgeon's heart. Spurgeon rightly says, when God sanctifies the heart, he enlightens the head. You get the heart right and the head will follow. Now, we are free to choose our own way through life, but what mercy and grace comes to the hearts of those who conclude, not what I wish to be, nor where I wish to go, or who am I that I should choose my way? The Lord shall choose for me. 'Tis better far, I know, so let him bid me go or stay. And such a free will leads then to goodwill. Again, Spurgeon, if we make our will God's will, God will let us have our will. You think about that one. Again, the heart of man who fears God is teachable. You can always tell, parents, if your children are fearing God. They're teachable. Oh, they might have some issues, but they don't stand defiant.
Amen.
They walk in the fear of the Lord. What a beautiful thing when your children are teachable. Blessing number 8. God watches over those who fear him. Psalm 33:18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. You know, if God's eye is on the sparrow, his eye is on those who fear him. Which is simply telling us we who fear God need not fear anything else. God's eye of unique care is our glory and defense. I love the words of the hymn, I trust in God, I know he cares for me. On mountain bleak or on the stormy sea, though billows roll, he keeps my soul, my heavenly Father watches over me. Blessing number 9, God shows mercy to them who fear him. 2 verses in Psalm 103 state this fact. Verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Do you know what the word pity means? It means to feel compassion, to show benevolence, empathy, kindness, sympathy, tenderness, understanding, mercy. If you show pity to someone, you show mercy to that person. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in need of mercy. And God shows mercy to them that fear him. The second verse in Psalm 103, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. God's mercy to them that fear him, ladies and gentlemen, is without end. Fearing God means our sins will not exhaust his grace. Isn't that a beautiful way to put it? Our sins will not exhaust his grace. And our believing offspring will see as well a continual display of God's mercy. I say, let us fear the Lord, for how desperately we need, how desperately our children and our children's children need God's mercy and grace. I want God's mercy and grace to fall on Adeline and Julianne. They need God's mercy. I want to fear God so they can experience God's mercy. Sometimes I think Adeline's going to choke Julianne. She just grabs her around the neck. And Adeline, don't do that. Adeline needs God's mercy. Amen? She didn't think she got enough presents for Christmas. That is bad. Adrian looked back at Adeline, and Adeline had this grumpy look on her face. Grumpy looks are not spiritual looks, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Adeline, what's wrong? I want to open more presents, she said. We told her, well, we've got some presents coming. Well, what are they, she said. How many of you said, I want to open more presents? Where are the rest of the presents? You know, we can laugh at Adeline, but, you know, we're big Adelines, amen? See, I told you I'd do a little preaching, amen? Blessing number 10. I love this one. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. Psalm 147, verse 11, the Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him and in those that hope in his mercy. What moves God? What brings him joy? Now, wrap your mind around this. What brings God joy? What brings him delight, pleasure? Ladies and gentlemen, let me address the men here in the congregation. It is not the strength of a man's arms, nor the strength of his legs that impresses God. What brings God pleasure is the company of a man whose heart possesses fear and hope. If you are walking in the fear of the Lord, God delights in your company. Think about that. He loves to be with you when you walk in the fear of the Lord. You know, sometimes when you have company, you say to yourself, well, when are they going to go home? Now, that didn't happen. I mean, we have good company that comes to our house. I had to say that, didn't I?
If you wanted to have any more company.
That's right. Thank you, Bailey. But you know, when we fear the Lord, God never gets tired of our company. That is so special. Blessing number 11. Those who fear the Lord depart from evil. We depart, and the primary evil we depart from is pride. Proverbs 3:7 states, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 16:16, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Again, how important it is to fear the Lord. The humble, whom God exalts in due time, fear the Lord. You know, we have so much trouble with pride. When you fear the Lord, you see the Lord, you see yourself, and how can you be proud then? Blessing number 12. Families are protected who fear the Lord. Proverbs 14:26, and the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Wow. His children shall have a place of refuge. You know what we need today? We need homes where our children have a refuge from the corruption of this world. We need fathers who fear the Lord, for fathers who fear the Lord provide divine protection for their children. Blessing number 13, fearing God. Fearing God breeds life. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. And when you think of a fountain, you think of water that continually what? Flows. To depart from the snares of death. Again, those who fear the Lord make choices that lead to life. They avoid the ways of destruction and death. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Blessing number 14, financial blessings come to those who fear the Lord. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. I ask, how does life get any better than riches, honor, and a full life? Proverbs 3:2 calls it length of days. What does length of days mean? It means not only, it means the life you live well. You don't have a wasted day here, a wasted month there, a wasted year here. You're always abounding in the work of the Lord. You live well. Blessing number 15, praise comes to those who fear the Lord. Proverbs 31:30, favor is deceitful and beauty vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And understand, this is not man, but God ordained praise. God ordained praise is true praise. It's true praise, and it's enduring praise. You know, the praise of man, you know how long it usually lasts? That long. And then the next statement that comes out of man's mouth is, what have you done for me lately? You know, it's never enough. Do you want a pat on the back that's a genuine pat on the back? Let God pat you on the back. He'll pat you on the back when you fear him. He gives true praise. Blessing number 16, eternal rewards come to those who fear the Lord. Malachi 3:16 says this, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name. A book of remembrance. Man soon forgets the good deeds done to him. I think one of the disappointments, and those of you who work with people, do things for people, understand this just as well as I do. But I think one of the things that is really hard is when you do something good for someone, and they can just walk away. It's like it never happened. It's like the time and even the money, treasure, time, talents, thank you, that you have invested in people, others, they could just walk away. God never walks away. He has a book of remembrance. You know, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who fear the Lord, everything good you have done, God remembers. God remembers. In fact, He's written it down. God does not forget the godly remnant, the true and righteous worshipers who love and serve Him. And then one more. Blessing number 17. Peace and rest, growth come to those who fear the Lord. Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Which all means good things come to churches, to congregations who walk in the fear of the Lord. Rest, edification, they grow, they multiply. I say, what a great admonition for Westside, amen? And so again, what a comprehensive list of blessings come to those who fear the Lord. How blessed are those who fear the Lord. However, in contrast, God judges those who do not fear, who do not trust in Him, who do not hold Him in reverence. Malachi 3:5, "And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts." God puts in the same category, fearing not me, the sorcerers, the adulterers, the false swearers, those who oppress the hireling, those who oppress the widow, the fatherless, the stranger. He puts those sins in the same category as those who fear Him not. But on the other hand, this is my last point this morning, we glorify, we worship God when we fear Him. Revelation 15:4 states, "Who shall fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? For Thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before Thee, for Thy judgments are made manifest." Westside's theme for 2014, the blessings of fearing the Lord. We can honestly say it's vitally important that we fear the Lord, that we possess reverence and honor, a holy awe of the one and only true God, for He and only He is our life and our salvation. I ask you, are you walking in the fear of the Lord? You really aren't living if you're not walking in the fear of the Lord. You're really not living if you're not walking in the fear of the Lord, because you're not experiencing God's blessings. And God's blessings are life to those who walk in the fear of the Lord. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Did we learn what the theme for 2014 is this year? Did we learn that? Amen. We heard that much. Amen. The blessings, let's say it together, the blessings of walking in the fear of the Lord. make that your prayer, that you will walk in the fear of the Lord. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for these dear people. Lord, encourage them. Lord, might they know there's another level of living they can live on, they can experience as we walk in the fear of the Lord. Lord, if I can say it this way, there are more presents to open, but they come to those who fear you. They come to those who want to glorify you. They come to those who love you, want to obey you, want to follow you. Lord, might we fear you. Might we hold you as the one and only God of the universe. Grant it, Lord, that you will be our God and Savior. Perhaps there are those here this morning, dear Lord, who have not truly opened their hearts to Christ. Might this be that day they do so. The day in which they simply say, Lord Jesus, I need a Savior. I want you to be my Savior. Come into my heart. Wash my sins away. Save me for your sake. Lord, grant it. Spirit of God, you speak. You speak in Jesus' name.